Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest is a studio analyst for That Other Pregame Show, affectionately known as Tops. Catch all of the action this Sunday, starting with Tops on CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. And Sunday's lineup on CBS, the Broncos and Vikings, Jaguars, Colts, Bills and Dolphins, Texans and Ravens early, the Patriots and Eagles and Bengals and Raiders are late kicks. Our friend, she wears the tiara of time zones, Amy Trask joins us this morning on the show. Amy, good morning.
Well, good morning. And before we stop, I want you to know I just replied to you on Twitter with a heartfelt apology. I was just teasing about the time zone thing. Of course, you noted that it was Eastern. But, you know, out here in California, we get just a little bit touchy that everything's always on New York time.
Yeah, I could see that. There's got to be a sensitivity because even if it's not Eastern time, the TV networks will always say 7 Eastern, 6 Central. You guys never get thrown into that those listings.
And you know what? I spent almost 30 years in the National Football League, and for almost all of those, every single time I'd get something from the league that told us there was a meeting and it listed East Coast time, I marked it up and sent it back to them California time.
That is a true Raider right there. A renegade challenging authority at every turn. Amy Trask joining us on the show. So let's talk about the Raiders. The silver and black are back, and John Gruden has this team winning again. What do you think has been the biggest element to their success this year that they have not had in recent seasons?
Well, they certainly added a tremendous amount of talent. I believe the number right now is 7. If you take out a couple guys that were just put on IR, prior to that, the number was 10. That's the number of men left on that team that precede John taking the job. So, you know, Reggie McKenzie was hired to do an enormous rebuild. John came in, and as is his right, this is not at all a criticism, he decided he did not like the rebuild that Reggie did. Reggie had, quote, torn it down, built it up. John didn't like that. And he's doing his own rebuild very, very successfully. And I will add that I think Mike Mayock was a tremendous addition in the front office.
So you think that this year it's simply been about turning over the roster and finding better talent. That's been the secret sauce to the Raiders this season.
I'd say that is a huge element of it. But it's also year two of a program. So it's the next step, if you will. But yes, talent, they've improved the roster from what Reggie had put together, added a lot of talent, and it's year two. So it should be improving, and it is.
What do you think about the Colin Kaepernick workout? There are skeptics that say it's a PR stunt. It does feel like it could have been executed a little bit more smoothly from the NFL standpoint. But where do you stand on this?
Well, I think you just hit the proverbial nail on the head. Irrespective of the intent, whether the intent was sincere or whether it was a stunt, as you just indicated, it's been put together in a very haphazard manner. If you want to do something like this, again, if the intent is sincere, you don't just give 3 days notice. We still don't know who's bringing the receivers. Is the league providing the receivers? Is Colin supposed to get receivers together on 3 days notice? So again, I don't know the intent. We can all speculate what it is, but irrespective of intent, if this has not been well executed, and I guess now it's in question whether it will even go forward.
Having been in NFL front offices, knowing how the machinations work, if front offices learn via memo yesterday there's going to be a workout on Saturday, is that enough time for NFL front offices to execute travel plans, get their people in place, or are things set up far longer in advance and it's kind of hard to get who you want to a Saturday workout?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head with those last few words, who you want. Because is it possible on short notice to get someone anywhere? Absolutely, positively, yes. Can a team, no matter where it's located, have someone at Atlanta on Saturday? Absolutely, positively, yes. The question, though, is who will be available to go to that workout. Because if you're playing a game on Sunday, you know, or Monday, if this is not your bye week, you know, it's not going to be the head coach. It's probably not going to be your general manager. So can every team get someone there? Of course. Can they get someone in a senior decision-making position there? No.
It also feels unrealistic to think that in mid-November you would work out a guy that hadn't played in 3 years and then sign him to your active roster. So in terms of just timing in this season, is this an awkward fit? Is it unrealistic to think that any team, even if they loved him, would put him on a roster?
I guess some of that depends on what teams or which teams or if any teams will suffer significant injuries again at that position. There have been a tremendous number of quarterback injuries and one retirement this season. And we're seeing guys step up and play that haven't played in longer than Collins. So, you know, I guess some of that will be circumstantial in nature. But yes, the whole thing, the timing, the effectuation of this just seems haphazard.
Amy Trask joins us from CBS Sports Network. She's one of the hosts of Tops, that other pregame show, Sunday mornings before your NFL kicks off. Are you at all surprised at the level of success that Lamar Jackson has had in that type of offense in the NFL?
No, I'm not, because of the coaching, the coaches surrounding him. John and the coaching staff there are doing what I believe the best coaches do, which is best position their players to be their best. Lamar is a phenomenal passer. He passes phenomenally well from the pocket, from outside the pocket. He's also mobile, and they are doing what, as I said, the best coaches do. They're maximizing his talent, and they are the antithesis of coaches that make me crazy, which is coaches who try to force a player into a scheme for which they're not suited. Now, the fact is, when it comes to Lamar, I'm not sure there is anything for which he's not suited. He is just terrific.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I mean, you wonder if he could just kind of like a chameleon fit into almost any system because he's just so good. But I do wonder about such a non-traditional NFL offense. I mean, was there any suggestion in your mind that, well, you try to run wishbones and options and designed runs in the NFL, and eventually you're going to get figured out, especially in year number two, and it feels like they're not getting figured out, that they're ahead of it. Is there any surprise on that front for you?
I mean, look, that's what teams do all the time. You know, the adage in the league is, well, let's look at the tape. And when someone first starts in the league, there is no tape to look at. And then as people learn, and I get it, it's not tape anymore, but back in the day it was tape.
Yes.
So I still say tape. You know, people, that's what people do. They evaluate people, they look at them, they try to find ways to defend them. And what Baltimore is doing is continuing to evolve what he can do because he is so skilled at so many things.
Do you think that there's any one reason that we have so many really bad teams this year? Because we have a winless Bengals team. Washington's only got one win. The Dolphins, surprisingly, have two wins right now. The Giants and Jets have been faltering. It feels like across the landscape, there might be more potential 2-14 teams than ever before. Is this just a blip on the radar, or is there a common thread here?
You know, that's interesting that you note that. I have not gone back to see how many times or how many teams over time have been 2-14 in any given year. But you're right. There is a chasm between the top teams and the bottom teams. I would posit for your consideration that we're seeing extremes at both ends of the spectrum. We are seeing a lot of teams doing far, far better than others expected, than many expected them to do. And as you just noted, some teams doing really, really poorly. Let's wait a few more games and see if it evens out or levels out a bit.
Amy Trask, studio analyst for that other pregame show. Catch all the action starting on Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Tops on CBS Sports Network, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Sunday's lineup on CBS, Broncos and Vikings, Jaguars and Colts, Bills and Dolphins, Texans and Ravens, Patriots and Eagles late, which should be a really good one, Bengals and Raiders as well late. She is maybe our most pleasant guest. She also is one of our smartest guests because she can use posit for your consideration properly in conversation. Amy Trask joining us. Amy, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
Okay, Amy Trask joining us this morning here on the show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.